the following was at the Black Rock meeting the first Sunday in October 1978. The following was at the Black Rock meeting, the first Sunday in October 1978. have turned to hymn number 126 on page 42. If you'll sing that, page 52. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilty power. Page 52. Call your attention to some scripture found in the third chapter of 2 Timothy and beginning at the 16th verse and reading 16th and 17th. This matter came into my mind this morning, or sometime in the night, I'm not sure which, and it's the only thing that has presented itself to me. And if the Lord is pleased to enable me to speak and you to hear, There's some wonderful things that the apostle wrote to Timothy by the inspiration of the Spirit of God, so that whatever we read in the Word of God, in the Scriptures, they came from God Himself. I feel sure that each one of you know that all true worship, all true praise and honor and glory unto our God comes directly from God Himself. It is not that we are left to pick out what we would do if we could in the way of praising and worshiping Him, but the Lord has so given His people grace that He, when it is His will to enable them to preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, then He sends forth His Spirit into their hearts and turns their hearts inward and causes them to realize that, well, I know this is the truth because something took place with me, we would say, many years ago, and I believe these things, and I hope that the Lord will sustain me in believing these all the days of my life. Now this scripture says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, these are complete things, and we know that the Lord has He enabled Paul to write these things, just the same as He did Peter, James, John, and all the others to write these things, and they are the truth, as it is in Christ Jesus. And I have often cautioned myself, and I hope I have you brethren and sisters and friends, the only thing that is proper is for the Lord to open up our hearts and bring us to understand the things that He Himself enabled holy men of old to write as He moved. Without these things, without moving of the Spirit of God, we would be just like anybody else who never heard really of salvation by the grace of God. And so I hope the Lord may be pleased to be with us in spirit and enable me to speak and you to hear. Now let us look to Him in a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast enabled a goodly congregation to be gathered here this morning. We pray Thy will, O Lord, be done in all that we do or say, enabling us, if it is Thy will, to worship Thee as Thou art worshipped in spirit and in truth, and to be with us, O Lord, that we might remember Thy goodness and Thy mercy that Thou hast extended to Thy people in every age of the world, and even to us if we're not deceived, that Thou hast spoken peace in our hearts when Thou didst quicken us to know that we were dead in trespasses and in sins. So, O Lord, we know we have so much to be thankful to Thee for, and yet we, in our flesh, cannot thank Thee as we ought. We pray Thee, therefore, to send forth Thy Spirit into our hearts this morning. Take the wanderings of our minds from the vain, the perishing, the foolish things of this life, and set them upon things which are heavenly and things which are divine. May we be blessed, O Lord, to know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. May we know nothing at all except those things that have been revealed to us by the Spirit of our God. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the many years that we feel to give Thee thanks, that Thou hast blessed Thy people to be gathered together here at this place many years ago. And Thou hast sustained the doctrine by sustaining Thy sustaining grace, as Thou hast sent Thy pastors and Thy ministers to come before this people as they have gathered these many long years. And, O Lord, what a gracious God Thou art. to look upon us who realize that we're nothing in our flesh but poor, undeserving sinners. And yet thou hast preserved the doctrine, preserved the people, thy people here, that they still love to hear the doctrine as it is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless us, O Lord, this day. Be with us when we leave this place, because we are totally in thy hand in every sense of the word. We are, whether we worship thee, it is according to thy will and pleasure. Or whether we fail, it is because that thou art not pleased to give us grace that we might speak of those things which are wonderful and glorious. But we know that thou doest all things right. Give us faith to look unto thee in our hours of darkness. Wilt thou remember the sick and afflicted among us? For thou knowest how much we need thy grace. Thou knowest that we're not sufficient of ourselves for anything. So be with us, we pray thee, and lead us and guide us until the end that thou hast appointed for each one of us, that we might walk circumspectly and bless to praise the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and give him thanks for that sacrifice that thou just have caused him to give, to remove us from all of our sins, and to be taken away, these sins to be taken from us. And oh Father, be with us through the further journey of life, and may thy name have all the praise forever and ever. We beg for Jesus' sake. Amen. The very first thing that I would say, as it comes to me now, my mind hasn't been active on this subject this morning, but the very first thing I would call your attention to, the Lord willing, that we should remember that all Scripture, not just some of them, but that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is given by inspiration of God. And the writer over in Jude, I believe it was, he wrote that, yes, it's in Jude, he wrote, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. So that is a very precious scripture to us. It came from the God of heaven, as he delivered it unto Jude, and Jude blessed to write it and deliver it unto the Lord's people in that day, as he delivered it to the Lord's people in this day. And so there is only one truth, and that comes from God our Father. And I feel that those who have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, who have been quickened by the Spirit of God, I feel that they are, as those, the blessed ones in Paul's time, as it's recorded in the Acts, that they searched the Scriptures. Now, how many of you, how many of us, really search the Scriptures to see if these things are so? I know that sometimes I read and I can't be interested somehow or the other, but sometimes then I read and it means a whole lot to me, because I feel that the Lord, who is the only one that can bring us out of darkness that each one of us are in our flesh, he brings us out of darkness and into the marvelous light. Now these scriptures here, the apostles mentioned several times, to the brethren, hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast the form of sound words. Speak the things that become sound doctrine. And all of these things, so what is so very important as we see it, is that we go to the Lord and pray unto him that in our ignorance of so many things in the scriptures, that he will open up our hearts and our minds and cause us to see that everything that these old brethren, I call them old brethren because they stood firmly upon the doctrine of the God revealed to them, and we know that they were sustained by the Spirit of God and didn't write just anything at all. You know, God has given his people in every age of the world the way that they shall worship him. He delivered to Moses, you know, and Moses to the others of the brethren. He delivered to them how that God will be served. And he enabled them to declare the things that God revealed unto them in that day and time. But that isn't all. He revealed unto that day and time, but in this day and time, and for many long years now, he sends forth his Spirit into our hearts and teaches us and causes us to know what he, by his grace, has done for us poor sinners in giving his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, bleed, die, and be raised from the dead for our peace, joy, and comfort, that we may be glad we have such a God and may wonder how in the world could God love sinners like we are with such a love that he could give and did give his only begotten Son. I've pondered over this many times. I suppose you have too. I haven't come to an answer to it, except to say that it was the Lord's will. Now, whatever the Lord's will is, he does it. And there's no one can question or rightly question whatever the Lord's will is. And so the scriptures, he says here, all scriptures are given by inspiration. When Jesus asked the disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Whom do the scriptures say that I am? And they answered, some said that thou art one of the prophets, John the Baptist. They were guessing at it, they really didn't know. But that was the answer of the game. But when Jesus turned to his own disciples, who had been taught of him, who had been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light and shown through the wonderful workings of the Spirit of God in their hearts that Jesus was the Christ. And when Jesus said to his own disciples there, "But whom do ye say that I am?" And Peter, I often think of Peter, as he answered many, many questions, seemed to be spokesman for the brethren so often. Peter said immediately, and I've said that he didn't hesitate. He didn't have to think over the matter, but he immediately said, from all the experience and all the things that had been revealed in his heart, he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered so wonderfully. He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And so we have everything given to us, not only in the scriptures, but in Christian experience, and being brought out of darkness and into the marvelous light. We have everything given us when the Spirit is with us and leads us by that Spirit. We have everything that is necessary to worship God in spirit and in truth. But without that, each one of us realizes sometimes we're so frail, we're so dry, that we can't even think a good thought, much less praise our God. But here it is, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, Moses didn't know anything about these things except the Lord had taught him. The Lord gave him to go before the Israelites in this early day. And the Lord blessed him to go before he and Aaron, to go before the people and there to contend for the things that God was revealing or had revealed unto them. And so when Moses worshipped, he worshipped according to the pattern shown thee upon the mount. He does not helter-skelter, doing this and doing that or the other. But he taught them what and how and when and all of these things to do. Well, that wasn't all he did, because he had determined before the world began that he should send his son into the world at a specific time, and he sent Jesus, his son, here into this low ground of sin and sorrow. He did that in the fullness of time. He sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. Now, if the Lord had not enabled these holy men of old, like in Moses' time, Aaron's time, as well as in the times of the apostles and the brethren, if he had not taught them, the Spirit of God taught them, they could not know. We could not possibly know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. But God sends forth his Spirit in the hearts of all of his people, brings them out of darkness and into the marvelous light of the Son of God, and causes them to rejoice, to know that while I am a poor, hell-deserving sinner, not worthy of his notice, and yet he had done wonderful things for me, whereof I am glad. Do you not remember, my friends and brethren and sisters? Do you not remember the time when the Lord spoke in your heart? Now, some of you perhaps have not experienced these things, but I am fully persuaded that the Lord speaks in the hearts of his people, those that he chose in his Son before the world began. And he speaks into their hearts and reveals to them that they are dead sinners, unworthy sinners, they know, but he causes them to know that they're dead sinners, and that it's not possible for dead sinners to redeem themselves. But God loved them. Oh, what a wonderful God he is and was, to love his people who had turned away from him, sinned against him, yet he loved them. He loved them with such a wonderful love that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, men didn't take it from him. Didn't take the life of Jesus from him. No, they didn't. But God took he took those things that were necessary in his own Son there, that he should suffer, bleed, die for the sins of his people. He was delivered for our offenses, we're told. He arose again for our justification. So this is what God does for us. He hasn't left it to us to do what we want to do, don't just as we want to do of anything like that. But when he opens up the scriptures here, as he said here, all scriptures given by inspiration of God. But where else do we want to look? Where else can we look? Except as the Lord blesses us in prayer unto him to reveal to us such things as he would have us to know. And whoa, what a gracious God he is when he brings you, like he brought Saul of Tarsus to himself, to see himself as a vile sinner. He that was not afraid nor ashamed of himself until the Lord appeared to him and spoke in his heart, and he had to say, "Who art thou, Lord?" That's the way the Lord does his work. He speaks in the hearts of his people. Now, the Lord doesn't speak in the hearts of everybody. Jesus said, "I pray not for the world. I pray for those that thou hast given me out of the world." That's what we contend for. We contend for the script that the scriptures teach, not only in the word, but in the evidences that he puts in our hearts, that Jesus was given to redeem us as individuals. And if you have ever been brought to see yourself as, I'll say this again, a hell-deserving sinner, because somehow or the other that seems to suit my case in every respect, but he brings us to see ourselves. Now, there are many people that lived and died over through the years, many, many, many thousands and millions, perhaps we might say, that had never felt themselves to be a hell-deserving sinner, never felt themselves to be, to desire even to do these things, because they have all of those who have not been born of the Spirit of God. They have the feeling, those who are exercised at all in the matter, they have a feeling that I can do something that would bring God under obligation to me. And it wouldn't be, as I have heard the expression used, he wouldn't be a just God if he didn't do so and so for me. But I'll tell you, my brethren, I can answer that by saying that if the Lord didn't do something for me and for you, when he brought us to see ourselves as as sinners above measure. If he didn't undertake for us, we certainly could not undertake for ourselves. Because, my brethren and friends, we must be born to the Spirit of God, else we cannot know a thing in this world about the grace and the mercy of God. You have to be. No wonder that Jesus said unto Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, these things here, I know you're reading your newspapers, and I was interested in a moving picture that I read was being shown, or would be shown right away, and born again. That was the subject of it. And I haven't seen it. I haven't even read the book of it. But I have an idea that this man, who has served his time according to the law, he decided, I suppose, I may be wrong, but this I'm going to look it up. But I think he decided that he's going to turn over a new leaf, and he's going to believe, and he's going to do a lot of things for the Lord's people. Well, my brethren, that isn't the way that the new birth comes about. No, it isn't that way at all. Because men say today that everybody can be born of the Spirit. Men say today that everybody, that God wants everybody to be saved. For my friends and my brethren, if God wants everybody to be saved, I guarantee to you that everybody will be saved. But that isn't what he does. Jesus said, I pray not for the world, I believe I quoted that, but for those that thou hast given me out to the world. And so we come together today, my brethren, desiring and hoping it may be the Lord's will to enable us to praise and honor and glorify and lift up his name above every name that has ever been named. So all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And what more wonderful place thing could be done for the people of God more so than he has done by inspiration. Inspiration. Men didn't sit down and just decided to write an article or something or other to put in a book at a later time. No, but God, he speaks in the hearts of his people and he enables them to write. And they write the very things that God dictates to them. I feel, my brethren, it to be true God dictated everything that's in this book. He dictated it to those who wrote. They might be referred to as a secretary, if you can understand what I mean, because they wrote exactly as God dictated in their hearts. That's what it came from. Moses didn't do this. Moses didn't write the Old Testament. Many things there in early history of the Old Testament, he didn't do that. But God gave him, through the Spirit of God, they gave him to write. And you know, if God had not been pleased back in those days to reveal and enable Moses to write and all of those other brethren to write, what would we know about the origin of this world? What do we know? How would we know where men and women came from? How would we know who made the earth and the heaven and the fullness thereof? Men have no way. Men in their darkened and benighted manners of and love, they have no way of knowing. They couldn't possibly tell us that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. They couldn't do that, but God enabled Moses to do that. Now, I don't know how long after the creation of the heavens and the earth. I don't know how long after, but however long it was for these things to be after the creation, mistake it not, that God enabled Moses to write the truth as it is in Jesus. And that's the only way that we know that God, in the beginning, God created the heaven. Yes, in the beginning. That's the way it was. Now, somebody else will say, well, you know how Darwin's theory and all of those things, they say that men and all things else came from just a little beginning back over in the mud hole somewhere, you know, or whatever it might have been. But that isn't the way it is, my brethren, friends. God did these things exactly so that what he determined in himself before the world began, those things he brought to pass without an error, without a forgetting anything at all. But everything is according to his eternal will and purpose. And his will and purpose was that he loved his people before the world began. And he gave them unto his Son Jesus Christ. For Jesus said, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And Jesus came here to do the will of the Father. He knew what the will of the Father was. He knew for what purpose he came here. He knew that God had determined before the world began that sacrifice must be made for those whom the Lord had called out of darkness in the eternal, his eternal wisdom. And so Moses wrote those things. They were typical of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world. But the time came. The time came, as every right time comes in this world, in the experiences of this world. The time came when Jesus should come. Yes, he didn't come too early. He didn't stay back and get there too late. But in the fullness of time, that's the word I like to use. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. So that's what we preach. We don't say that that Jesus came here to try to persuade somebody to believe. No, he didn't do that. He doesn't have to persuade, because he speaks and is done. The baddest sinner that ever lived, if he was in that eternal wisdom and power of God, a chosen vessel of God, when the Lord speaks, it's done, the same as it was for Saul of Tarsus. You know, Saul of Tarsus, he was a mighty man in his own estimation. And he thought that he could do the things that were contrary to the teachings of Jesus and to the teachings of those who were followers of the Lord. But when he took those things, going steadfastly down there in a mad career, as it was, I feel about it. But he went there. But the Lord overtook him. The Lord knew where he was all the time, because the Lord, whether you can understand it or not, or whether I can understand it or not, the Lord determined before the world began that Saul of Tarsus should be brought out of darkness and into the marvelous light, and that he should become an apostle, so that he could had the experience. He had the gift that the Lord gave him to preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And so Saul of Tarsus there, Paul, as it was came, he said here, all scriptures given by inspiration. Do you ever think about that? All scriptures given by inspiration. Now, I read sometimes, and I can't remember in 5 minutes what I've read, but all scriptures given by inspiration, they're profitable, yes. The inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, there's 1,000 different doctrines, no doubt, in the world. 1,000 different things that we call the necessary in the worship of God. But God is only worshipped in spirit and in truth. He is not worshipped with the hands of works of men, the hands of men. He is not worshipped in a way that seems right to men, but in simplicity. He sent his own Son here. The men have gotten away from the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus, because evidently those who've gone away and follow after every wind of doctrine, they don't know. The Lord hasn't revealed to them. We don't know what the Lord has in store for them at all. But the Lord knows. And so he knows all of those that he gave his Son, Jesus Christ, here. Jesus said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. And this is the will of the Father that sent me, that of all that he had given me, I should lose nothing but raise it up again to the last time. So that's the reason why the inspiration, the inspiring things teaches us that I can stand, my brethren, if the Lord enables me, I can stand and proclaim that salvation is unto the Lord's people, that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and that he came here to do the will of the Father. And he did the will of the Father. Therefore, he steadfastly went, knowing that he should die upon the cross, knowing that it was the Father's will that he should offer, give himself as a sacrifice for the sins of the Lord's people. And that's what he did. I've often thought about, I mentioned it right here one time, I'm sure. I've often thought about a man that's condemned to death. He knows he's to die, and there's no hope for him. And he must have lived an awful life from the time he was convicted until the sentence was carried out upon him. But how about Jesus? Now, Jesus knew from the very beginning that he was to be the sacrifice that saved the Lord's people. So he didn't draw back. He didn't run. He didn't offer any excuses whatsoever. But he stood boldly before that king there. And those that were trying him, they said, "Thou canst do nothing at all, to have nothing at all against me, except what were given to thee by my Father which is in heaven." Yes, he knew that. And he said to those who apprehended him, after he was so, I call it cruelly betrayed, but it was all according to the will and the purpose of our God. He said, "Arise, let us go hence." That's Jesus talking. He knew what lay against him just a very few hours more. But that's Jesus, brethren and friends. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And they are profitable. Profitable for doctrine. Well, what is doctrine? Doctrine of the things that Jesus preached. Doctrine of the things that he enabled his servants of old to preach, the doctrine. As Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so the gospel, my brethren, is the very power of God. And every time the power of God is preached, every time the Lord, the Spirit, enables one of us, one of his people anywhere to praise his name, it is because that he has opened up the understanding, and that he has loved us with enough everlasting love. And so it is possible for doctrine. Now, you can't change the doctrine. You can't add a word or leave out a word. You can't do that, because all things, you know, as I read here, it said, "I must admonish you to..." Let me read that. Yes, here it is. I had a mark in that. "It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." And so anybody who pretends or professes to be a Christian ought to be preaching the gospel, and doesn't preach exactly what is laid down for here, he's not a Christian minister. He's not. But if he makes up a lot of things and tells men that they, and women and children and almost babies, that they can do certain things, and the Lord will bless them, but that isn't the way it is. Well, Paul said, "I'm not ashamed," as I quoted, "of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is revealed..." Wonderful. I can't quote the rest of that verbatim. "Therein is revealed the things that the Lord has shown unto him." And therefore Paul said, you know, when he was so wonderfully taught of the Spirit, he wrote to brethren in one of the churches, and when he wrote to one, he wrote to them all. He says, "I am determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Now, my brethren, if I should tell you that Paul had something to do with saving the sinners, I wouldn't be right. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation by the grace of God. But God, Jesus gave, according to the purpose of God, he gave these apostles, he gave these men, not only to write the book, not only to write these scriptures, but he gave them to contend earnestly for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And I tell you, my brethren, I'm aware of the fact that I say some things that are hard to be understood, hard to be believed. And I know that I have enemies sometimes because I preach what the Lord said. I preach the things that I hope and want to feel that have been revealed to me. And I'm not ashamed of these things, because I was brought to the place in my early life when I was ashamed of myself. I was a sinner by above measure. And I felt like I was the worst boy that ever lived. And I feel like I was certainly the worst one But things took place, brethren. There's a time to every purpose under the heavens. And I do believe that there was a time that the Lord revealed himself to me. Of course, I must say that I wasn't worthy of it. Not worthy of it yet. But I'm not ashamed of the things that I was taught in that experience, being brought to fall down upon my knees and beg God to have mercy upon the worst sinner that ever lived. Have you ever done that? Have you ever felt to be the worst sinner that ever lived in the world? Have you ever gone before the Lord God in prayer and begged him to have mercy upon him, upon you, if it could be his will? That's the way it comes. And so it is possible for doctrine. It's possible for reproof. When some of the brethren would do things that wasn't seemly, there's a reproof. The brethren will reprove them, not in an aggravating way, but in a way that causes them to see how a gracious God he is, but what a terrible one I am. Reproof for correction. Yes, the Lord is taking care of all of these things. It is possible for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Yes, these things come from the Lord. They don't come from men. You can't get it by reading it out of the book. But you believe. Do you ever realize why you believe? You say, I believe the Scriptures, the Word of God. Do you know why you believe that? Because the same Spirit that enabled these holy men of old, as we call them, to write, the same Spirit that enabled them to write also speaks and spoke in your heart. He speaks in the hearts of his people. And he opens up to these things, whether you've ever read it or not, the first time you read it, that's me. He did that to me. I know what a sinner I was. I know what peace and joy came, he would say, when he heard my cry. Yes, we have nothing to boast of. No sinner has ever come before the Father and said, Father, I've done certain things for you. I've been a missionary. I've been one that has been done a lot of things. I've persuaded men. I've caused some to join the church and so forth. My brethren, if he caused one to join the church, that person doesn't belong in the church. I don't believe he does, because it is the Spirit that quickens. The Spirit brings us to see ourselves as unholy, and to see ourselves as not worthy of the Lord's looking upon us. But then he is the very one that teaches. And so the Scriptures that we have here is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so this is the way it is, my brethren. Everything in this book, I do believe, everything in this book, well, let men say what they please about it, let men talk about it all they want to, I believe, my brethren, and I can't help from believing, that the Lord spoke, and then by inspiration men wrote as he moved them to write. And it's the doctrine you have. The Lord is the author of that doctrine. He's the author of it. He's the one that promulgated the doctrine. He's the one that taught Peter, James, John, and all the others. He's the one that sent Jesus here into this world for a specific purpose, and that was to redeem his people, the Father's people, from all their sins. And if you have been brought through experiences which you cannot understand, perhaps, you may be well aware, be sure of the fact, that if you felt yourself to be the vilest of sinners, it was because that the Spirit of God spoke in your heart and caused you to see what a worthless person you were. But then when the time came, he spoke and peace came, gave you peace and joy, so that you knew that salvation wasn't by my works, but rather it was because that the Father had chosen me, had chosen all of his people in Christ Jesus before the world began. And so, my brother and I've said things here this morning that some of you may not understand, may not believe, really. But there's brethren back there in the apostles' days that they searched the Scripture daily to see whether these things were so. I admonish you, my friends, if you have a question about whether these things that we've been talking about, whether they're so or not, search the scriptures. Go to your Father and your Lord in prayer and say, Father, it is thy will, reveal to me, for me to understand these things. And if it is the Father's will, he'll hear your cry and you'll rejoice because he then gives you hope of eternal life. Yes, which hope we have, as the apostle said, which hope we have is the anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, and it enters into that within the veil. Whether forerunner Jesus Christ has done it for us, made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so these things are the things that God does for his people. He does it for his people. The people don't do anything for the Lord unless the Lord sends them forth. God blesses them to talk about these. I know sometimes we sit around in the homes and we talk. Some of us talk. Some of us can't talk much. But I love to hear things talked about. The Lord did so and so for me. I love the Lord. But it was only after he first loved me. We love him, the scripture said, because he first loved us. Brethren and friends, take these things with you if you can, and give thanks unto your God, and I hope my God, for his mercies, his blessings, in bringing us out of darkness, which we're all in our natures, bringing us into the marvelous light of the Son of God. May he be with you.
Have a hymn on the mind. What page?
73.
73.
Now if we turn to page 73, we use that hymn. I know that you're aware of the fact that this is the first time that we are meeting on in the morning rather than in the afternoon. And I hope the Lord is in the matter. And if you feel that he is, and you love the things that I've been preaching, I say come back. The Lord willing, we'll have some more. But I can't promise you anything, and you can't promise me anything, because the Lord himself directs all of our thoughts, all of our ways, and what a wonderful God he is. And so we come to give praise unto our God, to preach the things that God has delivered unto his people, and I have no new doctrine. I feel you can see from what I've spoken this morning, I have nothing new to bring forth. If I did, it wouldn't be by inspiration, and I know it. Now, on page 73, grace to the charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the saints shall hear. Let us stand and sing.
Grace to the
grace unto thy people, realizing, first of all, that we're not worthy to receive the very least of thy blessing. And what a gracious and merciful God thou art, to look upon poor sinners and have pity and compassion upon them, and to reveal in their hearts that thy people, having revealed in their hearts that thou didst give Jesus as the one that be the sacrifice to redeem thy people from all their sins. Father, lead us all each day. Lead us as we journey through this life, and when it comes our time to go the way of all flesh, give us a peaceful hour in which to die. Give us, O Lord, while we live here, that we have been able to preach thy word and comfort thy people, and to praise and adore and exalt thy great and heavenly name. These things we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.